CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins. That's sort of a funny thing to say when you know somebody's directed something like this. It's like, yeah, he acts too. Did you know he was in The Office for 100-something episodes?
Welcome to SinCast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be doing a mini pod.
Krasinski pod?
Yeah, sure, we'll do that. Krasinski pod. Of A Quiet Place Part 2. We're going to be, you know, I guess for a while here, we're going to be dealing with movies that were supposed to come out in 2020. Mm-hmm. This was supposed to come out in April, maybe, I think, of 2020.
I think that's right. Yeah, I believe you're right. It was like right before summer started was when it, because it was one of the, if I, it might have even been March, but it was March or April, because it was one of the first movies I remember getting moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This movie came out and made over $40 million domestic.
Yeah.
Over the weekend we were, you know, when we did the Spiral mini pod, we were like, well, is 8 million on an open weekend very good? Of course, things have changed a little bit, I guess, since I don't know if there has been some mask mandates lifted and there's all this, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics, which really shouldn't even be politics about, but not even going to get into the whether it's right or wrong to get to do that. But I think that's what, you know, I think we've seen some uplifting of that and people are starting to come out more.
More show times available.
More show times available for sure. So we still don't know if Spiral could have done more, although I guess taking a look at how it's done since then, I don't think so. I think that's about the ceiling of where Spiral was going.
Yeah. I mean, it might've been like a 13 or 14 million. If it had opened like this weekend, but I mean, it wouldn't have, I don't think it would have been much more.
Yeah. What did you think of the first Quiet Place?
Oh, I really liked it. That was, I don't know. That was one of the, that was a really interesting experience too at the theater because, you know, it's such a quiet movie. And thankfully I actually had a quiet crowd. I remember when I saw it. But no, that was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I've seen it maybe three or four times total, and I think it never falters. I might even like a little more. I think at this point I'm pretty okay with calling it like a pretty close to a classic of especially like horror or whatever you want to call it. But no, I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. I'm a fan of that. And. And I don't know if everybody experienced this, but the first Quiet Place is done in such a way that people do just naturally start to be quiet. Like they don't, I think people realize if they start talking in this movie, everybody's going to hear you. Everybody's going to hear your conversation. But it also sets to that point where it's like, oh, there's something really like dramatic going on here. It's really, and it gets everybody involved. So I'm a big fan of the first one. And then this one picks up where the last one left off. Although it is kind of a weird jump because remember at the end of the first one, they figured out the weakness and there's like three or four of them coming towards the house.
Yes.
And then in this one, when they do decide to, when they start off with a big, like, you know, I don't know, prologue or whatever, this is where, how it all began, basically so they can get John Krasinski to show up for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. And when they do cut to that, it shows her going to her son and saying, all right, come on, we got to get out of here. So they don't really show them shooting all those creatures that were coming towards the house.
No.
It's kind of a weird cut, but anyway, Quiet Place Part 2, like we said, starts off with a prologue And we go right into sort of the, it's not really an origin story, but it does show you where they were at the time that the creatures started attacking.
Yeah, yeah. And you do see a little bit of that in the trailer, so I don't think that's a spoiler at all. That, and I think people know that Krasinski's in it at least for a minute. So clearly there's only one way he can be in it. So
Yeah. And it goes right to where they're, okay, it's time to get out of this house. We need to go find somebody who can help us. And, they end up, you see this in the trailer as well. They end up finding Cillian Murphy, who is, mm-hmm. Is he John Krasinski's brother? Is that what
I kept thinking that we were going to find out something like that. If they said that, I missed it.
Yeah,
I absolutely did.
I think it may just be a family friend or something like that.
Yeah. Like maybe like, I mean, you know, the kids played baseball together and that kind of thing, but like, mm-hmm. I don't think it actually says. Yeah, but I did assume that was what it was, or it was going to be something like that, because it was always like, how could you not check on us?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so maybe they were like a neighbor or, you know, something like that.
He's playing a character called Emmett, who is has found this place. It's like an old a steelworks factory, or I don't know what it is. It's like, it's something like that. It's an old, it's a place where he can hide. He can go under, he can go underground, and he's got this furnace that he can go into as long as there's like this sweater that blocks the thing from locking all the way down. He's got a furnace he can go into in case they come down. And so he can, and it's like soundproof and everything. The Abbott's daughter, Regan, who's the deaf girl in the first one. She's made a discovery and she is going to go out and try to find whatever this is. I won't get into spoilers yet, but
yeah.
She's made a discovery and she wants to go to this place and see if she can help people with it and everything. So,
yep.
That's the sort of the basis of this adventure. And I think, Millicent Simmons probably rules this movie.
Yeah, she's definitely, not that she was, I mean, she was great in the first one, but mm-hmm. she has more to do, in this one for sure. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because this movie does an interesting thing where it kind of splits people up, basically. So there's a few different things going on, and she's a big part of one of them, I guess. So,
mm-hmm.
Noah Jupe, I don't know how you pronounce his last name. He plays the son, Marcus. I mean, he gets a little more to do too. So I think both of them benefit a little bit. Nothing wrong with Emily. I mean, Emily Blunt's great, but you know, she kind of takes a bit of a backstage to them, which is fine.
I would say so. Although there's a scene in this movie where I was like, I've always liked Emily Blunt, but like, mm-hmm. there's something about, there's this one scene she has in this, and I'm like, God, I don't know if I've ever stepped back to realize how good of an actor she mm-hmm. is.
Oh, she's amazing.
There's just how she's interacting with these kids and everything is just, there's something that she's doing. Like, I don't know if it's something new that she's done or whatever, but I don't know. I felt like more than ever, I was like, God, she's really good. In this, even though she is taking a back seat.
Like I said, it's not a knock on anything. It's just the way the story progresses. You know, she's not as much as the forefront, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Let's get around to what we thought about this movie. What are we going to grade it and everything? Why don't you go first?
I had no idea what to expect going into this. I didn't know if I wanted this movie to exist. I didn't know. I mean, the first one was perfectly fine by itself as far as I was concerned. I think this one, I mean, I've only seen it the one time, and I guess anything's possible down the road. I don't think this is better than the first one, mm-hmm. but I think it's a lot closer than I thought it would be. I think Krasinski as a director is better here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that might just be because he's behind the camera more than he's in front of it.
Yeah.
But there are just three or four just really good sequences in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
We've already talked about the acting. Also, I mean, is it Cillian or Killian? What do you
Killian.
Say? Killian. Killian. Killian Murphy is well cast in this too, I think. I'm really glad. I mean, I think he's great. And then like Jamon Hounsou shows up later. There's a lot of really good actors in this. I was a little concerned in the trailer that the trailer made it look a little Walking Dead-esque, where it was going to be like the humans are worse than the monsters. And while that is addressed a little bit, it's not what I thought it was going to be based on the trailer. So that didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really liked this overall. I'm going to give it an A-.
Mm-hmm,
and like I said, the only reason I'm not giving it an A is because I think the first one's an A, and I think this one's just not quite as good. So
yeah, I'm gonna give this an A.
Awesome.
I didn't know what to expect of this either. I didn't like the trailers for this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the trailers just looked like your typical what you do in a sequel, where you're self-aware mm-hmm. about everything. And there are some parts in this movie where I'm like, come on, but. For the most part, exactly what you were talking about here, with the different sequences that are in this, they're so well done, so suspenseful and scary and I don't know what it is that he's doing here, but maybe it is because he has, you know, like you said, he's behind the camera mm-hmm. more this time. A lot of these moments really are effective, and especially when you're watching it with a crowd of people and people are just like jumping and they're really like getting into it and everything. So I really like this. And you said also, maybe over time, I might like this better than the first one at some point. I don't know. I think they're about equal right now. I don't think there's any one. I don't think either one of them is better than the other.
And it's interesting because the first one is a lot smaller, which is a good way to start it. And in this one, he opens up the world and the world building's actually, that's what I didn't know. I didn't know what the world building was going to be like, because like if they just had it in another house, you know, and there's a couple extra people, that wouldn't have been interesting.
No, that wouldn't have been fun
so,
at all.
So the fact that he actually makes this, like he actually builds this world that I want to see more of, like I'm down for a three at this point, which I know he admitted that, you know, of course he said this, but he said something about this would be the second part of a trilogy, but
yeah,
which that's what everybody says, but still I can see it now, you know, I can see where this is going. I was actually concerned at one point because I knew it had to be ending soon. And I was actually concerned at one point, like how it was going to end, but it was not what I expected. So I really enjoyed that. I even liked the prologue at the beginning, which is like, we know what's going to happen, but it's just so interesting. Like all the stuff we see, you know, I don't know. It was, even that was effective.
Yeah. It's kind of got a Cloverfield almost, sort of vibe to it, at the beginning. We both rate it pretty highly. We want to get into spoilers.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
He's Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
So you brought up the humans might be worse than the creatures and everything. There is, I was glad that it didn't do this, but there is a version of this movie that plays out just like every other apocalyptic zombie movie or monster movie does, where Cillian Murphy is actually bad, and he's leading Reagan to this island, and there's like people there waiting to kidnap her or something like that, or you know, I don't know if you saw, did you see Love and Monsters?
I haven't watched it yet. No.
Okay. Love and Monsters has, you know, some elements where you're just like, I kind of know where this is going sometimes. It's funny. They introduce these characters. They've got these like, I don't know, they're dirty and they're they're marked up or something like that. And they don't speak. and they look like they're, I don't know, they're just stealing stuff from that. We don't really get a chance to see what they're all about. And
no,
and while I'm kind of grateful, because I hate when movies, these apocalyptic movies, get into this, well, now there's something else to worry about, and let's just make that the whole movie. I still would like to have known what their motives were.
It's really just more of an obstacle. I love, well, it's not just that moment, but that's the part where we've got three different things going on, right? Mm-hmm. You got them, and then the son is, well, he's being tracked by one of the creatures, mm-hmm. and then he gets stuck in the furnace with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Emily Blunt trying to get like medicine and stuff. And then she comes back, and then she's trying to distract the creature from getting her. So you have like all this stuff kind of converging, and it's really suspenseful. But I love that scene with the dirty humans, I guess we'll call them the water world people.
Right.
I like how like that scene evolves. Like I like, you know, Cillian Murphy, like, you know, because they do that thing where they put the rope over him and they've got cans attached to it, so he can't move without making a noise.
Mm-hmm.
But then he uses that to his advantage to actually get the creatures to attack. I just thought all that was really cool. And then, of course, there's a callback to some random thing where he asked Reagan how to say dive one time.
Yeah. Right, you know, that was
kind of silly, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I know what you're saying, but you still... But it's almost like I kind of want to know, who are these people? And maybe we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, I hope the third one doesn't just devolve into, well, they got kidnapped by these guys. And, you know, and there's, it's a whole, it's like a War of the Planet of the Apes or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll probably have Woody Harrelson in the next movie.
Shaving his head.
Yeah. Yeah, he's leader of these people. When everything started going bad, we had to come out here by ourselves. In the trailer there was one thing I didn't like, and I don't think they do much better in the movie. I mean, there's not much you can do at that point, but Emily Blunt is so careful. We see her at the beginning when they're walking across that sand trail, how careful she is with every step she takes. But then when she goes into that junkyard or whatever before the creature attacks, she's going over that tripwire and like making all this noise and stuff. And it's like, come on, you know. But it sets up a pretty cool thing where you see Cillian Murphy sort of like he's pointing a gun, and it's making it seem like he might be shooting them later or whatever. But he's really just looking to see if creatures are coming towards them. And then Marcus, the kid Noah Jupe plays it's a really well done moment where he's running through that thing, and then suddenly that big huge bear trap thing.
Goes
across his, like traps him in his foot. There's something really well done about it, because we know something might happen. We don't know exactly what it is. I think a lot of us are just sitting there thinking, no, hope the creature doesn't get him. Hope the creature doesn't get him. And then just very suddenly there, he's got this big trap going around his ankle. And, you know, you're sitting there going, I don't know how anybody can keep silent. When that happens, and he doesn't, to the movie's credit, to the movie's credit, he doesn't, because it would have been ludicrous for him to be there just I'm so well trained, I'm not going to yell or scream when a bear trap goes around my ankle.
No, they do that great moment of silence, you know, because he's in shock or whatever, and then he just lets out that wail. But that seemed normal. I mean, that's what I would probably do. I don't even know if I would be quiet as long as he was.
Oh yeah, no, hell no. But yeah, those are the thing that you're talking about. They do it, I guess, twice in this movie, where they're cutting back and forth between multiple things. And I really do love this part of this movie. Everybody is dealing with their own thing, and you know, Marcus's thing is he's just exploring this whole area, and he finds Cillian Murphy's dead wife
Hit
behind curtains or whatever. And then of course he makes noise and, and, you know, creature starts coming after him. And then it's this whole like race to this, this furnace, which, you know, if you've ever seen a movie before, you know that he's going to get into this furnace and the sweater is not going to be in the way. And, and he's going to lock himself in. And, you know, the only thing that, you know, gives you solace is that, Emily Blunt said she'd be right back. When, you know, cause you know, she's coming. And I love how there's that little hatch he goes down into, and then the creature, I guess, is just like, I don't know, burrowing into it or something. I don't know. But that whole like hatch or whatever falls to the ground, and she hears it from the outside and knows that she needs to take action and everything. So it's, it's just a really well done scene. And then while, you know, the ending does this too, where, and they even, he Krasinski even parallels the two siblings throughout this whole thing, where they're, you know, they're walking towards, the creatures at the end. And I love how they've just taken, you know, they're now they're in control and everything. They're that look that Millicent Simmons gives at the end as she's looking towards the camera, as she's about to like stab this creature at the end is excellent. And, anyway, it's just, it's a lot of well done sequences in this.
And they, I love that bit at the end too, towards the end, that last kind of final big sequence. Cause there's that scene where, they're in like a, well, so they find a, they hear a song, right? Like they, there's a Beyond the Sea.
Yeah.
And Millicent Simmons' character, Reagan, figures that thinks that maybe it's a code or it's a somebody saying.
Yeah. Now, did we hear why it was like this? Why the people who got on this island decided to play Beyond the Sea on repeat?
Instead of
having a message that says, "Hey, we're here."
No, they definitely never explained that.
Okay. That was the biggest thing that was fucking with me in this movie was, why do you need a code? You know, this reminds me of like Resident Evil, right? Where the Resident Evil Afterlife, where there's this boat that's out in the middle of the ocean. That's like, you know, come out here if you want to be saved and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, if you really wanted people to find this fucking boat, why don't you just say where you are?
Yeah.
This whole
time? That's totally fair. I know. I believe when he gets there, cause Jimon Hounsou is one of the people on the island. And, he says, you know, you heard the song, or you found us, or something like that. That's like all he says, from what I remember.
Yeah, that's all I remember. And that there were 12 boats that were supposed to go out, and only two made it.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear the reason why they said, you know what we need to do? We need to find something that if people are smart enough, they can get off the mainland and go to the island. So.
I feel like they're still super comfortable out there, though. Like a little too comfortable. I mean, I would still be a little. Maybe they've been out there long enough, but I can't remember how many days it's been. Well, but
they said, I think they said something to the effect that it had been 11 months or something.
That sounds right.
So I don't know. I guess there was existing houses on this island. I'm not sure. Or they're easily built houses of some. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't catch that. It'll be interesting going back over this on the second viewing. If there are some tiny explanations that I missed here and there, but it is kind of weird that they're able to. They either houses were already there on this island, or they built those houses maybe it's been a longer amount of time than I think. I thought they said 11 months, but it could be the 11 months that I heard could have been from some other.
Well, yeah, that stuff could have already been there too, because there had to have been a radio station or something too, because they were using that to, you know, but they, Reagan, you know, her whole thing is that she comes up with the idea they can broadcast the noise. I don't know how far that broadcast would go to, but I guess it would be that general area. And so there's that scene where they get to the radio station because there's a dinghy or something that one of the creatures gets on and makes its way to the island. Which that's a pretty cool scene too, where Cillian Murphy discovers the boat.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh shit. And then you see that guy pulling up the bucket of water or whatever. You're just like, no. But Reagan is there. She's trying to step through like a, I don't know what you call those windows, but it's like a receptionist desk window that slides. And she's trying to crawl, like she's trying to put her leg through that window over a desk that has an open drawer. It's like, it keeps like showing all these obstacles as she's doing this.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. Like I was so tense. Like I was just like, oh my God, like what is going on here?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The scene that you're talking about, and you may have already said this and I didn't hear it, but
no, it's
you know, like there's a moment where you're like, oh no, there's a coffee mug, but her leg just barely goes over that. then she puts that, put her foot on something that can slide on the table, and you're like, oh no, okay, so she's got one foot over, but this could end up sliding too much or whatever. And like, yeah, that scene is great too. It's amazing where he finds small areas to find suspense where, you know, it's easy to just make the creature just show up and oh no, better not make any noise or whatever, but like these little things like that, just you know, creating an obstacle course with a desk basically is fantastic. Yeah, I love that scene too. What else do we need?
Well, I mean, the end, I mean, I mentioned earlier the ending, I thought it was going to be like just a cliffhanger because I knew it was getting close to when it was going to be over, and they don't all meet back up, which is fine. And I guess Emily Blunt actually might be in some, I don't know. She had her leg gashed pretty big by that by one of the creatures.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there. But like, so you've got at the end, you've got Cillian Murphy and Millicent Simmons are on the island still, right? And then you've got Emily Blunt and Noah Jupe and the baby are back at the whatever that is. They're, you know, down by the furnace and stuff. So that was fine. I was okay with that. I just thought it was going to be like, you know, she's about to put the song on, the noise on, and then it was going to end or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was glad that's not what they did.
Right. You'd see like everybody on the mainland, like turning through radios, and then they get to that. And like they, you know, there's like, you know, creatures screaming everywhere or whatever. But yeah, that's, I love that too. I love the way he ends this movie. He does the same thing with the first one, obviously, where, you know, the creatures are coming towards the house and Emily Blunt cocks her rifle and that's it. That's how it ends. You just, you know, that she's going to win because she's got that feedback noise going through and everything. And in this one, you know, they've conquered the main issues in this movie. Once that's over, it's like, all right, let's end this. Because I don't know, there are times I feel like this in movies where they add 5 to 10 minutes, so there's like some sort of cool down period that you don't really need, where it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, they could have added another 10 minutes where she and Cillian Murphy have to find the boat again, and they have to come back, and they have to go through all the other stuff that they had to go through, get back to Emily Blunt, and all that. But I'm glad they didn't either, because, I mean, we're either assuming that's going to happen anyway, or it sets up the third movie where they are apart and they have to figure out there's some other obstacle to get back together, and everything becomes like Game of Thrones.
Exactly. I'm the same way. I mean, if there's never a third one, this is fine. I mean, I think there's going to be a third one now. But if there wasn't, I mean, this is fine. Just like we were okay with the ending of the first one. So I like that he has, you know, he's able to do that. And it's like he's able to set up a world, but he also, Krasinski is able to contain it within one, like make it its own movie, which not everybody is able to do these days with all these people trying to set up franchises and stuff.
It'll also be interesting to see if Krasinski is interested in directing the third one too. I think that he didn't really want to do the second one for whatever reason.
He said the next script has actually already been written. And it was Jeff Nichols has already written a script for the third Quiet Place. Jeff Nichols was the guy. He directed Midnight Special. And yeah. So I don't know if that means that Nichols might be directing the third one. It doesn't say that, but it did say that he wrote the script, which is interesting because he hasn't been involved in any of the writing up to this point, right? It was it was Krasinski wrote this one, and then it was I can't remember the two writers.
It's Scott Beck and Brian Woods who were part of the first one, and then Krasinski totally writes the second one. I guess just and then I mean Krasinski's got, and who knows when you see his IMDb and you see what he's got going as a director, both of the projects are either in development or are just maybe something he might do at some point.
And I mean, any acts too, like I'm sure he's doing season 3 of Jack Ryan right now and whatever else.
He acts too, by the way. If you didn't know, that's sort of a funny thing to say when you know somebody's directed something like this. It's like, yeah, he acts too. Did you know he was in The Office for 100 and something episodes?
But so I'm just, but you know, he's probably busy doing that, so who knows. But I mean I kind of hope he gets to direct it. I mean, if Nichols is the choice, I mean, Nichols is a good directors, so.
Oh, he would be awesome if that came down to it. I would definitely be in line for the third one if he decided to direct it. But you know, at this point, I guess movies like this are sort of ruled by the producers, and Krasinski would probably guide whatever third movie, to make it feel like part of this, the same trilogy and everything, and not go entirely off base. But somebody like Jeff Nichols would be great. I don't know what else to say about this movie.
I will say real quick, I love that they didn't really have callbacks. There's one moment at the beginning where Millicent Simmons is walking down those steps to the basement or whatever, and she steps over the nail that was such a pivotal moment in the first one. But other than that, I didn't really... nothing caught me like, oh, they're paying tribute to that and making it bigger, like a lot of sequels try to do.
I still kind of want to know how that that thing they're carrying the baby around in works, where, like, you know, how that completely suppresses sound. When the baby starts crying and stuff. That's something I was sitting there going, how are they keeping? I know that they got an oxygen tank, but how are they keeping this baby from any kind of noise? And if the baby does make noise and needs to be fed or something, what are you supposed to do? How do you get away? They sort of gloss over that, and they have to, because there's not, the reasons only thing you get is, oh, the baby must be in the baby's in a soundproof box with an oxygen tank, and that's supposed to, like, that tells you everything.
This will not be like super difficult to send by any means. Like, there will be plenty of things, but it's one of those things. It's done so well, you don't care. But no, all the kids, just in general, like, that boy's too quiet. I mean, other than the bear trap, which is understandable, but just in general, I mean, kids are not that quiet. They just aren't. I've heard people joke about that. Like, if you were in a situation where your kids had to be quiet, like, you just have to knock them out. You wouldn't have really much of a choice.
There was a point, this is really bad, I know, but there's a point where Emily Blunt pulls out the vodka, and she puts it on Noah Jupe's leg, because it's whatever, but I thought she was going to give a taste to the baby. I really thought that was about to happen. It's like, we're in extreme times here, people. We need to get the baby to get knocked out somehow. Give her just a taste. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this mini pod. We really, really enjoyed it. So what did you guys think of it? Go to Sincast Presenter. I said this last time. I had this fucked up last week, and I did it again this week. Go to Sincast Presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter, Discord, and SoundCloud. If you want to get on Discord, give me a shout on Facebook's private messages, and I can give you a link there. And I think the last time we did this mini pod, I didn't tell people to find you somewhere, Jonathan.
That's fine. I'm not that interesting. I do have a Twitter account, though, if you're curious. It's at SamLoomis13. You can also hear me every week with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes on Behind the Sins.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.